It is always wonderful to be known as a person who did what was right. The Bible tells us that Joash did what was right. This is found in 2 Chronicles 24, verses 1 through 3, and then 17 through 22. As you likely know, those same words are Brother David Johnson's sermon topic on this Words of Life program. We are presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to hear the gospel of Jesus. We now worship our Lord with song.
Tarry with me, O my Savior, for the day is passing by. See the shades of evening gather, and the night is drawing nigh. Tarry with me, blessed Savior, leave me not till morning light, for I'm lonely here without thee.
Night of rest.
Tarry with me,
Please pray with me. Holy Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we speak to you in prayer. Thank you for blessing our lives. As we look for effective use for this program and other gospel efforts, Lord, congregations of believers and others are sharing your word, and they ask for your needed blessings in serving you. Please be with each one who is listening today who may be ill, troubled, or most importantly, lost in sin. We pray that for your healing, peace, and convictions that are needed. Help us to always be mindful that Jesus is going to come back for his church at your appointed time. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Joash Did What Was Right, based upon 2 Chronicles 24.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God and are not only educated but encouraged, and for the skeptic to be challenged to accept the living God into your life. The title for the lesson is, Joash Did What Was Right. And our primary text is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, and verses 17 through 22, which we shall read, at least in part, in the body of the lesson. Most people are familiar with Billy Graham, the evangelist, the American evangelist Billy Graham. But few are familiar with Graham's early associate and friend in their mass evangelism campaigns together, named Charles Templeton. In the 1940s and 1950s, Templeton was a leading evangelist. He toured the United States. He preached in 44 states and was also internationally renowned as an evangelist, a Christian evangelist. He often preached to crowds up to 30,000, packing stadiums and auditoriums. However, in 1957, in spite of all of his outward success, he was having inward doubts. A serious crisis of his faith in God himself. Later, in his book entitled, quote, Farewell to God, end quote, he wrote of his misgivings of the Bible and even of God himself. He began with rejection of the creation in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, labeling it the creation fable. He was troubled by racial prejudice in the Bible as he saw it. He could not reconcile the mystery of evil or the why of suffering and death. He rejected the second-class status of women in the church as he saw it. He also grappled with the deity, the very deity, divinity of Jesus Christ, and his alienation from his biological family. He also referred to, quote, the illusion that prayer works, end quote. A sad story. Charles Templeton went from Christian evangelist to agnostic, which means a belief that does not deny God, but denies the possibility of knowing God, to a full-blown atheist. One who denies the very existence of God. Templeton completely lost his faith in God, having been a Christian evangelist. He committed apostasy, an abandonment of one's religious faith. Desertion from God, he fell away from the faith, the Christian faith. Of course, this is certainly not new, nor unusual. Many do so. For one or many reasons. Some claim that apostasy necessarily means that such a person was never really converted or saved in the first place. Others claim that yes, even a true Christian can desert, can abandon the faith, fall away from the living God. This we'll investigate scripturally toward the end of our lesson today. So, stay tuned. First, let's consider an example of someone in the Old Testament that started out right with the Lord, but ended up so very wrongly. Someone who few know his story, his name, and his position, King Joash of Judah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 1 through 3, we find these words. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 40 years. His mother's name was Zibiah. She was from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years Jehoiada, the priest, was alive. Jehoiada chose two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Joash was safely installed on the throne under Jehoiada's direction and protection. Joash became king at a tender age and was officially king for 4 decades, much of which was spent under the close supervision of the priest Jehoiada, who took charge in large order of Joash's life, in that he was so young when he became king. He even selected wives for the king. Joash had plenty of offspring to ensure that the line of David would continue for the kingdom of Judah. Jehoiada was actually the high priest, or chief priest, according to 2 Chronicles 24:6. The first period of Joash's reign was under the good and wholesome guidance of the high priest, who would mold the young king. The role of Jehoiada's in this case was in no way a substitute for the king. He was certainly a kingmaker, and he was certainly a faithful advisor. But Jehoiada made no attempt to be a usurper of royal power. The chronicler, probably Ezra the priest, recorded a picture of a balance between the royal and religious leadership, with the final say reserved for the king. The early years of the young king were years in which he enjoyed God's blessing due to his doing what was right, following the example and counsel of his high priest, who was like a father to him. Those early years in large measure were occupied with the restoration of the temple of the Lord, as recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 4 through 16. Joash began well with the Lord, but a huge change in character was coming. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 17 through 22. After the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and he listened to them. They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their forefathers, and worshipped Asherah poles and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came upon Judah and Jerusalem. Although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back to him, and though they testified against them, they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son Jehoiada, the priest. He stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord. He has forsaken you." But they plotted against him, that is, the son of Jehoiada. And by order of the king, they stoned him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. King Joash did not remember the kindness of Zechariah's father, Jehoiada, which had shown him great kindness, but killed his son, who said as he lay dying, "May the Lord see this and call you to account." The presence and guidance of the godly high priest Jehoiada alongside King Joash certainly had been a powerful training and restraining influence on the younger king. We can't know why Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, didn't have the same influence on the king. Perhaps the king simply lacked the character, or indeed the personal faith to carry on rightly without Jehoiada, the high priest. Yet the text reveals after his death, Joash abandoned God. No sooner had Jehoiada been placed in his tomb did the officials of Judah approach Joash and persuade him to reject all that was right which Jehoiada had stood for. They transferred their worship and loyalty to idols that had been suppressed for decades and abandoned the God of their forefathers. Out came the Baal statues, or idols. Up popped the Asherah poles. The Lord in heaven was all but forgotten. Rebellion and apostasy again reigned in Judah and Jerusalem. God did not leave Joash nor the people of Judah in the dark about what they were doing. God sent his prophets to try to persuade them to return to the one and only true living God. Even the son of Jehoiada, the king's new advisor, named Zechariah, confirmed God's will toward the king and the renegade people, that if they didn't repent, they would not prosper and be forsaken by God. However, none repented, or most would refused. The very vast majority refused to repent. Instead, they silenced him permanently. The murder, the martyrdom occurring in the very courtyard of the Lord's temple. Joash himself gave the order that he be executed. How could Joash, who, quote, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, end of quote, 2 Chronicles 24:2, according to scholars, for over 20 years, go from right to so very wrong? How could Christian evangelist Charles Templeton, associate of the evangelist Billy Graham, who evangelized for over 10 years to thousands upon thousands, go from right to so very wrong? Some claim that apostasy, falling away from God, necessarily means that such a person was never really converted in the first place. This is certainly true of many that commit apostasy. In Joash's case, he probably leaned on the godly priest Jehoiada, his faith. Sadly, this is repeated abundantly down through the thousands of years to today. For example, when godly parents die, the children fall away. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 says, in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 states, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. That sounds convincing. Yet, others claim that apostasy, falling away from God, can occur to those who did have a genuine conversion toward God of saving faith. Consider Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6, which states, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance because of their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace, end quote. Obviously, both set of circumstances regarding apostasy are true. For all Scripture is God-breathed, or inspired of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Some, yes, are never really saved, because they have never come to repentant, obedient faith, and so fall away. Others truly have been saved, and yet are not overcomers, and do not persevere in the faith, in the living God, in the Lord, and therefore fall away. So both are true. We need not cancel the other. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Inspired words from Peter. Equally true are the inspired words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is absolutely accurate that no one, nothing whatsoever, externally, can separate us from the love of God. However, that does not include a believer's own inner free will to fail to persevere. And so, dear listener, if you are a born-again baptized believer, we must be overcomers. We must, it is our responsibility and accountability to remain in Him, to remain in the faith, in Christ Jesus, through persevering faith. And if you are not a believer yet, or you are a skeptic, consider Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. It's the most important decision you will ever make. And once you make it, you will have the joy of salvation.
Just as Joash did what was right, we need to do what is right as well. Being a Christian is right, and we pray that you are a Christian. If we can help you with information about a closer walk with Jesus, please contact us at the addresses that will be presented. You may also have a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for Radio Broadcast 2349. That's 2349.
It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.